It's Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Darling Love, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hey, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. Hey, if you live in the Palm Beach, Florida area, be sure to catch Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. Join us starting April 1st through the 12th in the Royal Room at the Colony Hotel. For tickets, call 561-655-5430. You know, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. have enjoyed tremendous success over the last four decades as recording artists, performers, and authors. They've received 7 Grammy Awards and earned 15 gold and 3 platinum records and enjoyed starring roles on television and stage, both as a duo and as lead vocalist for the Fifth Dimension, one of the most popular singing groups in the late 60s and early 70s. They have performed to sold-out concerts around the world. Among their top hits are Up, Up and Away, Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In, Wedding Bell Blues, One Less Bell to Answer, Stone Soul Picnic, and You Don't Have to Be a Star. This will be their second Royal Room engagement at the Colony Hotel, the essence of Palm Beach, 155 Hammond Avenue, Palm Beach, Florida. For tickets, call 561-655-5430. At the Colony Hotel, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr., April 1st through April 12th. At the Colony Hotel. Paulette and I will be there. You be there too. And if you live on the best coast, that being the West Coast, don't miss their upcoming performance at the Uptown Theater in Napa, California on March 22nd at 8 p.m. Tickets are available from Ticketmaster or the theater box office. Call 707-259-0123. That's at the Uptown Theater in Napa, California. Billy Davis Jr. and Marilyn McCoo. You don't have to be a star. Just be there.
Couldn't stand the pain. I hope you fall in love with me, 'cause it would be a tragedy if I should lose you. I couldn't stand a praying. I hope we get to love in time, 'cause I've gotta make you mine. Each day when I
precious love. my life within your hands. Created everything I am and taught me how to live again. Only you, you cared when I needed a friend, believed in me through thick and thin. This song is for you, and with gratitude alone. God bless you.
So how are things on the best coast?
On the best coast?
Yeah.
It's the best.
Oh, it's warm.
Well,
oh, it's 80 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, where are you at, Mike?
I'm in Wellington, Florida, by way of the Bronx.
The way of the Bronx, okay.
The way of the Bronx and Connecticut and a little bit of Long Island. I sang at all the Long Island clubs over the years, you know, when I was a kid. And it's funny, we have a daughter in Newport Beach, so she just traveled back because we had an anniversary for my wife's parents. They're both 88.
And, oh, how sweet.
Yeah, I know how spiritual you both are. And her father and mother read the Bible every day. So, I mean, you know, it's very spiritual. I'm the Jew in the family. So, you know, it's like, but basically I've probably been to church more times than most of my Jewish friends because I always hung and sang with the Italian kids.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my extreme pleasure to have as my guests the darlings of pop music, America's sweethearts, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. How are you both?
We're doing great, Mike. I don't know how we can follow that intro.
Well, but, I got a feeling we're going to get into some very good stuff. We have neighbors, Gary and Diane, and we're very close to them. And right out in the driveway, he came running over to me because he knows that I'm involved in music. And he said to me, the Colony Hotel is going to have Billy Davis and Marilyn McCoo. I've been in love with Marilyn McCoo since I can't remember when. We have to go. I said, fine, let me go call and get tickets. So I called. I said, I want VIP tickets right up front the first night. And then I got a brainstorm. I said, you know, I'm doing the radio show and I've interviewed just about everybody on the planet. And I said, let me see if I can get in touch with them and see if we can do a little interview pointed towards the show, and all will be well. And so really and truly, we have to thank Gary and Diane, who actually were the catalyst for this. And you will meet them the night of April 1st, and we'll talk about the Colony Hotel, you know, as we go along. Now, if my math is correct, you two have been singing on stage with each other for almost 5 decades.
That's about right. Your math is right.
And that's a long time. I had a group called Harmony Street, and it was three ladies, myself and a bass singer. We were actually the entertainment for Bill and Hillary at the White House Christmas party in 98. And I just want to say that, you know, when you have a group with ladies in the group, it becomes a different kind of a group. You approach everything much differently. And I know that when the ladies locked arms and said, no, we're doing it this way, there wasn't much that you could say after that. So
that's the way we're doing it, baby.
Yeah, so I'm hep, and I have learned, happy wife, happy life. I have that, I have that posted in my studio here.
that's a good posting.
Because it's true. Let's start with Marilyn. You were a Jersey girl originally, right?
I was born in Jersey City, Jersey City,
where a lot of talented people came from that area. So much talent.
And I didn't spend any time there. I mean, I was born in Jersey City, but I actually lived in Columbus, Georgia until I was seven, and then we moved out to Los Angeles.
Wow, you're so lucky that you left Jersey. I mean, you know.
My mother grew up in Jersey City.
In Jersey City.
Yes,
and,
she did.
And your parents were doctors?
That's right.
Wow, and what were they doctors of, if I can pry?
My mother was, both of them started out at that time they called it general practice, which today would be more like internist.
Yeah, and we need more general practitioners right now.
Tell me about it. Way too complicated today.
You know what? That's another whole interview.
right.
Yeah. And then you moved to, as I said, the best coast. You moved to L.A.
That's right. I've been here ever since. I've never really seriously entertained the notion of living anywhere else. Billy and I have talked about having a place in New York.
Right.
But then I found out how much Billy really didn't want to have a place in New York.
Right.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I wanna be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray and step around the heart of it. New York, New York. I wanna wake up in the city that doesn't sleep, to find I'm queen of the hill, top of the heap. My little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in all New York. If I can make it there,
Yeah, well, you know what's funny about it? In L.A., I mean, there's an awful lot of traffic on Wilshire, but then you have to figure that in New York, you can't even have a car in Manhattan because there's no place to put it. And, you know, it's all about people. It's not about cars.
Exactly right. You know, New York, I'm going to tell you the truth. I love New York.
Yeah.
But I love going there for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, seeing the shows, the Broadway shows. And,
right.
And just, you know, just hanging out and walking and being in the stores and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But after 3 weeks, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to come back out and kind of get back into this pace.
You know why? Because you're exhausted from shopping.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's exactly what it is.
Amen.
Okay, yeah.
Now, you know, I just want to say this, Marilyn. I'm aware of the fact that your parents were good to you. They got you singing lessons and piano lessons and dancing lessons. I read that and I said to myself, you know, that was like in the old days when MGM used to take one of their ladies and they would make them so well-rounded that they could sing and dance and act. And we don't have that kind of well-roundedness anymore. But you did it all growing up.
Yes, I did. But you know what? Actually, there are some amazing triple threats out there, you know, on
right.
Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
They still have them. It's just not, you know, at the time when we were growing up, that was just what your parents did, you know, if you could...
Right.
You took dancing so that you'd have an awareness of your body, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you took piano lessons so that you'd have a little musical knowledge. It was always a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And it's a shame that they've taken music studies and music appreciation out of the schools today.
Oh, well, you know, besides my singing career and besides doing some writing and whatever, I was a dean for 30 years in a tough Bronx junior high school. As a matter of fact, J-Lo went to Castle Hill Junior High School for a year. So, you know, it was tough. And I saw the kids, you know. I spent 30 years with those kids coming through. It was fabulous.
Well, speaking of a triple threat, J-Lo's pretty hot herself. You know, she dances, she sings, she acts very well.
Right. She came a long way. From the kid, they used to come into my office and say, "Yo, Mr. Miller, can I clean your desk?" I said, "You got a pass? No, go back to class." "Yo, I hate the teacher."
Oh, that's funny.
No, that's a true story.
Yeah, she came a very long way.
I hate that teacher. And you did some modeling as well. And you went to UCLA. I mean, you know, this is like the perfect package, Billy.
Yes, it is. It is a perfect package.
Yeah, you know. And so the original group, if I'm not mistaken, were the Hi-Fis.
Well, actually, the original group was called the Versatiles.
The Versatiles.
Right, because, you know, what's really funny is, and my wife has terrific taste. We were married 5 years, we're together 7 years, and it's the last marriage for both of us. She saved my life. You know, I was just running around singing with the Mystics at that time and, you know, doing that kind of thing. And now she taught me how to love again, how to live again. You know, it's like I've landed. She's always been a big Fifth Dimension fan. She's also been a very big Friends of Distinction fan because whenever I Can Dig It comes on, you know, she's just, you know, she starts moving and grooving.
Uh-huh.
And I know that there's a connection there with the groups.
Yes, Harry Elston, who wrote Grazing in the Grass, and was one of the founders of the Friends of Distinction, was a member of the group, the Hi-Fis that you mentioned.
Right, now, okay.
And we did sing together.
Uh-huh.
But that was before Billy came out to Los Angeles.
Gotcha.
And he and Ronald were not in that group.
No.
You know, my feeling is, in order to get into that, there are not too many people on this planet that could remember I Can Dig It, We Can Dig It, She Can Dig It, They Can Dig It. So, I mean, you know, that alone is just, you know, enough to be able to be in that group.
Harry is known for doing that kind of crazy stuff.
But, oh, yeah, it's all good.
But not only that, we still see Harry today.
Oh, that's cool.
We're still very close.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, now let me ask Billy, where were you born and raised, Billy?
I was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri.
Uh-huh. I know where that is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now let me ask you, Did you have music in your family growing up?
Oh, sure. Cool. Grew up with music, took lessons, but basically knew what I wanted to do when I was very young.
You know,
I knew that music would be my destiny, and I'm so glad that I was able to fulfill that. But I took a lot of lessons and sung with school choirs and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
No, that's great. And let's see, the Versatiles, did they do any recording?
Yes, what was that? The one that we did on Mustang. You're good enough for me.
You're good enough for me.
Yes. For me, and then we did I'll Be Loving You Forever.
But that was with
with Johnny.
Gotcha.
That wasn't the Versatiles, no.
I thought it was.
No, it came out under the
No, I didn't think we changed our name to the Fifth Dimension until we did Go Where You Wanna Go.
Breaking up.
Well, let me ask you this.
It was on the label.
Let me ask you this.
Now you're testing our memory.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I know. How did the fifth dimension name come about? Because we all know what the fourth dimension is, but how did the fifth dimension come about? Whose idea was that?
Well, we all went home. We were getting ready. Okay, this is my recollection.
Right.
That we were getting ready to release Go Where You Want to Go. And we were on the label that Johnny Rivers, who was a very successful recording artist at the time,
right,
had been given by the record company, by Liberty Records, mm-hmm. because he was selling so well. So we ended up on his label, and we were getting ready to release Go Where You Want to Go, and we were talking about coming up with a new name for the group.
Right.
And so we all went home and came up with ideas the next day, and Ron Townsend, who was the heavy set, we always called him the image of the group.
Right.
He and his wife came up with the idea of the fifth dimension.
Uh-huh.
And yep. He was saying, well, you know, the fourth dimension is time.
Right.
And so the fifth dimension is sound.
Yes.
And we're five people and we're the fifth dimension.
There it is. So we beat a fifth dimension and that was it. You like
that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, actually, we voted on it, but everybody, when we heard the name, we all just knew that was it.
That was it. Yeah.
Wow. So, 1967, and I remember it well, Up, Up, and Away took over the world, that song. Did you know, when you were recording that in the studio, did you know what you had?
We had no idea.
No, we never did.
Wow.
We just thought it was a beautiful song. We all loved the song. And we said, well, you know, it's too pretty to be a hit. So, we just went on to the next thing, you know?
Jimmy Webb ain't shabby.
Oh no, not at all.
You know.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? We could float among the stars together, you and I. For we can.
Arrange the vocals for the group? I mean, you know, obviously when we talk about the fifth dimension, we're talking about, you know, among the elite. And I had a group with five vocalists in it, and, you know, I arranged most of the vocals. But, you know, when you're arranging five voices, and by the way, let me add that in some groups, you have your strong vocalists, you have your lesser vocalists, you have ones that kind of cover up for the others and whatever. It wasn't like that in the fifth dimension. Everybody could sing in that group. And that's a blessing.
Yes, it is. And with Up and Away, Jimmy Webb did the vocal arrangement on that.
Ah.
Yes, he did. He knew exactly how he wanted it to sound.
Really?
And then we started working with a guy by the name of Bob Alcivar.
Uh-huh.
And Bob Alcivar was with a group called The Signatures many years ago.
Uh-huh. Okay, interesting.
And Bob did a lot of our vocal arrangements, and he did such a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Now, at the beginning, and I'm asking this as somebody who's been through this, how much rehearsing did all of you do before you looked at each other and said, you know what, we're ready for prime time, let's go in there and start recording?
Every day.
We did quite a bit of rehearsing. I mean, in fact, we rehearsed more than we did anything.
Right.
And that's one of the, we got so used to rehearsing until that's why we felt so secure.
Yeah.
Whenever we would hit stage, because we'd done it so much, you know.
No,
just through rehearsal.
I hear you. You know, because really and truly, and I've always said this, I had, as I said, three ladies in the group, and one of them always used to say, and I say this with love, she would always say, I can't hear myself in the monitor. And I would say, sweetheart, when you can hear yourself in the monitor, you're singing too loud. You got to be in the blend, you know. And I always thought that, you know, getting that blend was as much about listening as it was about singing.
Absolutely.
That's true.
A lot of people don't realize that. They don't get it.
Yeah, they just think you go out there and you just sing. But, you know, you got to listen to each other because, you know, as well as I do, every venue that you do is different. And sometimes you're not hearing those monitors the way you need to be.
That's right.
And, you know, when we go to the Colony, we love that room because it's a small room and we sing, and we have two of our guys sing back up with us.
Right.
Sing back up to us.
Uh-huh.
And we are able to get a wonderful blend there. And again, you have to be so careful. You have to make sure you hear one another.
That's right.
You don't want to stand out too much.
Well, the Colony is different. The Colony, you know, the Colony is the type of room where if you had broccoli, everybody knows.
That's right.
You have broccoli for dinner.
You can't clear your throat without them knowing it.
I know that, you know. So, but that's great, you know. Intimate is good, you know. So here we go, Up, Up and Away, and then Stone Soul Picnic, which was kind of a different kind of a tune. I mean, you know, all of Laura Nero's tunes are different, but you know, that was a different kind of a tune.
Yeah, that tune, Stone Soul Picnic, was a tune that when we put it out there, it covered all of the ground. It went R&B, pop, it went everywhere. And I think that's one of the first records that went over for us for R&B.
Can you survey? Can you picnic for
Well, you know, you really can't put the fifth dimension in a niche. And you know, people that try to do that, I think they're wrong. Because you guys and girls were really universal. If somebody said to me Fifth Dimension was a pop group, I would say yes. The Fifth Dimension was a soul group, I would say yes. The Fifth Dimension, you know, you had it all because it was very much of an American sound and a universal sound. From my perspective, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, that was what we felt too, because we enjoy so many different kinds of music.
Right.
And we always like to have that reflected in our shows. You know, we always do our hits, which everybody expects to hear.
Right.
But then we also want them to know what our musical backgrounds are. And we have a lot of fun picking music that we think is going to appeal, you know, to the audiences that we attract.
And there are two real plateaus. You know, if we go back to the Fifth Dimension, who was picking your tunes? Was it the group or was it the producers?
We picked them together.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yes.
That's
uh-huh.
good. Because a lot of times groups get told what to do and right. you know, and they get frustrated because that's not really what they want to do.
Well, no, we had a very good relationship with our producer, Bone Towel.
Right.
And Bones has golden ears.
Wow.
Golden ears. And he could really, and of course, a lot of times, there were times when it wouldn't be unanimous, you know, oh yes, we all want to record that, you know, it might be three of us, but Bones' opinions always were well accepted.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, very, very
much valued.
Now that's good, and that makes it much easier. Let's talk about the outfits for a minute, because you know, a big part of the Fifth Dimension were the outfits. I mean, you guys used to come on with the bell bottoms and the, you know, I mean, you know, that was as much fun with the Fifth Dimension as the great sounds that were coming out of the speakers.
We were the group that wore basically the same colors, but different. Each outfit was different.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
We had a theme.
Yes.
The guy's name was Boyd Clopton, who designed our outfits. And what happened is he came to see us one night, and we had come up with this concept of everybody wearing black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is, you know, before we started to get it to really happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one of us picked something black and white out of our wardrobe.
Right.
And something that befit our own personalities, our own bodies, types and all.
Right.
And Boyd happened to be in the audience that night, mm-hmm. and he got it. And he said, I like that idea. And then he came to us and he said, I'd love to start designing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one who came up with those wild outfits.
Wow. Well, you can get a designer after you've had like two number one hits. I mean, come on.
Well, that never hurts.
No,
that
doesn't hurt, you know, because somebody said to me something very interesting the other day, because, you know, I've produced a lot of doo-wop shows and I've been in a lot of them and, you know, whatever. And, you know, some groups come out and they go the whole route. You know, I just saw the Teenagers the other night, you know, the two remaining, Herman and Jimmy Merchant.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they dressed the part, they sounded the part, they looked the part, they got it together. And I said something to them that was interesting. I said, you know, a lot of times people are lazy. Sometimes they listen with their eyes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you first go out there, you know, it's what they see and then they hear it. But, you know, if they're liking what they see, they're much more willing to listen.
Right.
This is true.
Absolutely.
This is very true.
And when
yes.
people spend money to come see you, you know, you want to hit them from all the, you want to hit all the senses.
Oh,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You want to look nice. You want to look the part on stage. Yeah.
Oh, you know, for sure. Now, Aquarius and Let the Sunshine, when you talk about that particular record, and I'm going to say record, you know, because that's what it was. I mean, you know, how big was that? I don't know a household anywhere that didn't have that in their house and play it, you know, and wear out the grooves. I mean,
yeah,
that was a monster.
That was our biggest record.
Here we go again. Another hit.
And we were very happy to have it, too,
exactly
because
right.
one thing you learn is when you're in the business, You know, even though to the outsider, it may look like you, every time you release a song, you have a hit.
Right.
But that's not so.
But it's not so. And after you've had, you know, two or three songs that haven't sold as well as you want them to, and then you turn around and you have another song that's really a big hit, I mean, you're so thankful for it.
Oh, yeah. But there was another thing happening then, and that was that, you know, the Beatles weren't gone yet. As a matter of fact, the Beatles were, you know, probably hitting their stride after 64, 67, 68. They were still around cranking them out. You know, the Four Seasons, Jane and the Americans, they managed to hang on. A lot of the groups that we remember from the early 60s, you know, they kind of were coming up against a brick wall. The Fifth Dimension, they were sailing at that point. So, I mean, you know, even, you know, the American public was still faithful to the Fifth Dimension, regardless of the English invasion or anything else that was happening.
Yes, very much
yeah,
so.
That's right, yes.
And I think that was important and needs to be said. And then something happened that I guess kind of took it in a little bit of a different direction. Wedding Bell Blues.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm going to tell you how I feel about that tune. That was the perfect song, the perfect vocal, the perfect recording. And somebody once said to me in a recording studio, the enemy of very good is perfect. Because when you go to mix it, if it's very good, leave it alone. If you try to make it perfect, you're going to ruin it. But if there could be a perfect tune and a perfect vocal, Wedding Bell Blues was, you know, on the short list. I got to tell you.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
Thank you very much.
I mean,
well put together song.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. There are some songs that become like theme songs. That was kind of one of them. What were you thinking and feeling when you were recording that song, Marilyn? What was it? Did you know you had a monster hit?
No, nope, had did, no idea.
Did
no,
you enjoy it?
She was singing to me.
Well, yeah. Hopefully, you know.
Well, actually, we recorded it as a lark, you know,
yeah,
because
right.
we were going together.
Right.
But it never even occurred to us. Now, we don't know what Bones was thinking in the back of his head.
Right.
But to us, we thought it was going to be a cute song on the album, and
right.
It was being done in tribute to Billy's and my relationship.
Gotcha.
I had no idea that it was going to end up being a top five song.
Right.
You never do know about the song.
Right, that's true.
Well, you know, as we go, we'll get into the relationship, because, you know, that's a very important part of, Fifth Dimension history and, how things progressed. As far as, having a group with ladies in it, going to go back to that, we had an opportunity to sing with my group the National Anthem and do a 25-minute show at Shea Stadium years ago. And then the owners of the Mets said to us, so-and-so is in town, I don't remember who, somebody on Broadway, and we're taking the anthem away from you guys, but we'll still let you do the show. And the girls locked their arms and said, nope, you call them back and tell them if we can't do the anthem, we're not showing up, because it was our very, very special five-part harmony version of the anthem. And I sheepishly called up the Mets, and I said, the girls are not going to come. You won't let them do the anthem. And they said something very interesting. They said, we understand. We'll catch you later, and we won't let you down. And then towards the end of the year, they let us do that whole thing over again, but it was during the playoffs. And the girls said, see, we told you it would work out okay. You don't listen to us, you know? So that's it. The girls in the group were always right. What was the most embarrassing on-stage moment for the Fifth Dimension? Do you have one?
Oh, how many?
Yeah,
how
right,
many?
Right.
Well, one night, one thing that stands out for me was we had an intro that we were going to do off stage, and we were supposed to sing "Have You Tried Love," which was the prologue to the Magic Garden album.
Right.
And we were supposed to sing offstage, have you tried love? Have you tried love?
Uh-huh.
And then we ended, have you tried love?
Uh-huh.
And then the music is supposed to start off with the introduction to Up, Up, and Away.
Uh-huh.
And then we come out on the intro to the music.
Uh-huh.
Well, that particular night, Lamont forgot.
Uh-huh.
And... And after we finished with Have You Tried Love, Lamont burst out on stage by himself, no music. We were all trying to grab and pull him back. He was smacking our hands out of the way like we're wrong.
We couldn't stop him.
Wow.
It wasn't embarrassing for the group. It was embarrassing for Lamont.
Yeah.
Because he stood out there. It was dark. The lights weren't up. And nobody else was out there but him.
Wow.
And all he could hear was laughing in the background.
Wow, that's pretty funny. Now, if he was smart, he would have just looked around and says, is this the American Legion Hall?
Right, place. That was, you have to be quick to do that, you know.
That was one. There was another time when we were on the stage, and you remember when your pants split, baby?
Oh, yes, I had to.
The seam came apart on one of Billy's legs, and
uh-huh.
right where his thigh was. And we couldn't get off the stage and have the pants sewn up because it's right in the middle of the show.
Right.
The show. Right.
So Billy did the rest of the show in profile.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Sideways.
Yeah.
And then another time was we were in Germany.
Right,
and
right.
We were performing for
the Ball Parade.
The Ball Parade. And,
yeah.
And it was a major, major event, and the people showed their appreciation by throwing flowers. On the floor,
uh-huh.
And we were doing a dance number with some choreography to it,
mm-hmm.
And I stepped on a flower,
and it went straight up in the air.
Yep, my feet flew out from underneath me,
ooh.
And I came crashing down to the floor on my behind.
Ooh.
And
she jumped up so fast, it was scary. She jumped up so fast, the people in the audience said, Did we see her fall or not?
That's pretty good. Well, and you sang through the pain, because I know
yes,
how it is.
That's right. You sang through the pain.
That's literally what happened. I had to sing through the pain.
Well, you know, I know this because I've done this, you know, and it's when you're booked, you do it with pneumonia, you do it with a broken leg, you do it no matter what it is.
You're
singing, and the adrenaline kind of, you know, gets you to a place
kind
where you don't feel.
You through, yeah.
Then you feel twice as bad afterwards.
Yeah, right.
You know, I know how that is. One time with my group, in the middle of a show, and this is to about 2,500 people, a woman gets out of her chair, comes up and says, do you guys sing Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me? And I said to her, this is not a jukebox, lady.
We're doing a concert.
But we'll talk to you after the show. So when I said jukebox, the jukebox, you got to put in a quarter. I shouldn't have said that. They started throwing quarters at us. And they hurt. And I said, look, could you please start throwing dollars?
Oh, right.
Because they
right.
don't hurt. No, it's funny. You know.
Mike, we are having such a wonderful time talking to you and going over wonderful memories from being on stage. And we really look forward to seeing you and getting a chance to meet you at the Colony.
Oh, that's great. Well, we're nice people, and we love to see good talent and all of that. And it's going to be a great show. One less bell to answer.
They'll be hearing that, and of course they'll be hearing all the songs, the hit songs that we're known for.
Right.
Because we wouldn't dream of doing a show without people hearing the songs that are their favorites and, wonderful songs that you have great memories to.
Plus, they'll be hearing some songs from our from our background. I
mean, yeah.
Songs we grew up with.
Yes.
Songs that we love to do.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
Got to mix it up a bit.
And we just released a new live album.
Right.
A live CD. Whoops,
yes.
I said album.
Let's say CD album.
No, I know. Well, the kids nowadays don't know what an album is. You say album and they think of, you know, the wedding album.
Right. And so we'll be doing some things from the live CD and we're just really, we love playing the Colony because it's a great room and the people who come there, you know, it's not like, you know, like sometimes people think that a cabaret room is kind of stuffy and they're just going to listen to quiet music.
Right.
But not the Colony.
Not the Colony. Mm-hmm. Those people come there to have a good time.
And they do. Yeah.
And we really enjoy it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome 7-time Grammy Award winners Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr.
Right. I wanted to ask you when the romance began for both of you, because, you know, when you're singing with somebody in a group, it's a group. The minute you start to have feelings for somebody, you know, it becomes like a group within a group. how did that come about?
That is a very long story. But, you know, we respect each other's musical commitment and started out as friends and ended up falling in love. Yeah.
Started with friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we started, like, confiding in one another about our lives and what was going on with us before the group and what we liked about music and all of this, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Before we knew it, we were really looking at each other.
Yeah.
Right. No, I understand. And then, of course, you know, came the TV shows. And, you know, besides amassing all those Grammys, I thought to myself, where do you put all those Grammys?
Here now are five people who let the sun shine in every time they walk on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, the Fifth Dimension.
Well, I guess we'll get right on with the nominations. Go ahead, man.
Right on. For Best Pop, Folk, and Rock Performance by a Duo, Group, or Chorus, the nominees are...
Wait a minute. Are we going to sing some of our own songs?
No, not tonight, sweetheart.
We're here to do some other people's songs. Oh, okay, fine. The first nomination is Joy to the World, Three Dog Night.
Bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him drink his wine.
Go down by the grapevine, drink my daddy's wine.
How Can You Mend a Broken Heart by the Bee Gees.
How can you mend a broken heart? Falling down.
Let the sunshine, let the sunshine.
All I Ever Need Is You, Sonny and Cher.
Sometimes when I'm down and all alone, oh, just like a child without a home. Love you give me keeps me hanging on, honey. All I ever need is you. I love you so. I always will be.
Come on. Get her off this
night. I know you love me, baby. I love you too, you know, but not right now. An album called The Carpenters by The Carpenters.
No need to talk it out.
We know what it's all about. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Jesus Christ Superstar, London production.
Is there a place that you display all those Grammys, or are some of them in the bedroom, some of them in the living room, some of them?
No, we put them all together. We got them together in one of the rooms,
yes.
like our family room.
Yes.
Wow.
We put them all together because we're very proud of them, and we think that they have a greater impact when people see them all together.
Yeah.
Right.
We've won 7 Grammys, and we're so thankful to have them.
And the winner is... You don't have to be a star to be in my show.
We'd like to thank our producer, Don Davis, for bringing us the song in the first place.
And we'd also like to thank ABC Records for pushing so hard for a number one record for us.
And we'd like to thank... our manager, Dick Broder, for his moral support. Thank you very much.
Come as you are, with just your heart, and I.
And then the TV show, and you know, and that had to be a thrill too, because you know, here, you know, I remember every week, Marilyn, you were singing, you know, the hits of the day. So in other words, every week it was another few tunes to learn. That had to be a challenge as well.
You mean on Solid Gold?
Yes.
Well, you know, fortunately, I didn't have to sing. I wasn't required to do that all the time.
Right.
You know, Andy Gibb, when we were co-hosting together, I would sing. He and I would sing something together from time to time. Sometimes we'd have a guest on the show, and if it worked, then we would do something together. So it wasn't as difficult as it might have appeared to be to the audience.
Right.
Fortunately, because when Billy and I were doing our Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr.
Right.
Show, we were on that for 6 weeks, and every week we had to learn 4 to 5 songs. That
right.
was a challenge.
You bet.
That was more difficult than the Solid Gold experience, because you know, they were even though the show was a half hour long, we were doing so much more.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it was good for two of us too.
Right.
No, I know, you know, and you gotta carry it. So let me ask you, when you go shopping, do you get recognized a lot? People come running over to the sushi counter and go, "Oh my God, it's Marilyn McCoo."
From time to time we do.
Yeah,
you know, because we've been in the business a long time now, and we've got, you know, you've got new generations of people.
Right.
And of course people from our era are likely to recognize us a
much
lot more quickly than some of the younger people. We have had some experiences when we've been out, and the parents or sometimes the grandparents will see us, and they say, "Oh my God, oh my God!"
and the kids look at them like crazy.
Yes, like they've lost their minds. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's
but
interesting.
It's always nice. You know, we appreciate being
good to be recognized.
Yes.
No, I understand that.
Yes.
How was being on the Ed Sullivan Show? Because that's a short list also.
Ed Sullivan was very good to the group.
Oh, that's
he was very good to the group. He was very kind.
He had us on there quite a bit. Yeah.
Actually, he had us on, he celebrated our 5th anniversary mm-hmm. on his show. And that was a very special moment for us.
Wow.
Singing the hit song from their latest album, The Fifth Dimension.
I read what you wrote about going to a Little Anthony show and talking about, you know, singing your hits over and over again and not having them become stale, or trying to do something to them so it didn't become boring and stale to you, you know, and you realizing that for Anthony to sing all of the tunes that got him there were why the people were in the audience. You know, I guess that was something that you needed to overcome, because as you say, people are coming to hear Billy Davis and Marilyn McCoo. Those songs that you sang over the years at the beginning are still in the hearts of the people, and they're reverberating in their minds, and they associate you so much with them mm-hmm. that it's almost a must.
And not only that, but, you know, that it's the music of their lives.
Yeah.
And so many people come and they hear those songs mm-hmm. and it takes them back to where they mm-hmm. were when the songs came out. And those are special moments, you know, and once we realize that and realize the connection and the memories and how special it is to the audiences, we started saying, you know what, as long as they want to hear those songs, we're happy to sing them for them.
No, I understand.
You know, so we're just thankful to be in the business as long as we have been. It's a real blessing.
Well, yes, and rightfully so, because, you know, let me tell you something. It's all about having the energy going in the right direction.
Always.
And I know, you know, I know where you're coming from. Like I said, you know, I was a Jewish kid and whatever, but, you know, I didn't go out with too many Jewish girls, so I married non-Jewish girls. But the point is, you know, I know that the Lord is very important in your lives, and that's like the cement that is, you know, keeps the cohesion in the music.
That's what keeps us going.
Faith is always important in your life, you know?
No, and I agree with you 100%. You know, you have, there needs to be some kind of a commonality that keeps all the energy going in the same direction.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you ever, creatively, do you ever disagree with each other as far as, you know, what you're going to sing and, you know, how you're going to sing it and that kind of a thing?
No,
well,
we
not anymore. We used to years ago, but
yeah.
Now, you know, through the years, you start learning each other, and you learn what each other likes, and you learn what you kind of get a read on the audience and the places that you're going to perform, and
yeah. Right.
You try to put things together in harmony, so
yep.
It's about right.
We're looking forward
yeah.
to seeing you at the Colony.
Marilyn and Billy, it's been so nice talking to you. I will see you at the Colony, and really looking forward to it. It'll be great.
We're looking forward to seeing you too, Mike.
Great.
Yes, indeed. Right. And we promise you'll have a good time.
Great.
Thank you, Mike.
Love you both. See you soon.
We look
okay.
forward to seeing you there
right.
in Palm Beach.
We'll be there.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Johnny Maestro was a friend of mine, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. Billy Davis Jr. recorded The Worst That Could Happen by Jimmy Webb, and they recorded it. They decided to keep it as an album cut and not release it as a single. They wanted to keep the group sound, and it was just Billy's lead. Marilyn was kind of stepping out front with her sound in the Fifth Dimension at that time. They kept the tune as an album cut. Johnny heard the tune and decided to do it with the Brooklyn Bridge. And of course, you know that it became a hit for the Brooklyn Bridge. But if you listen to Billy Davis Jr.'s version, it's very, very similar to what Johnny did on that song. It's a great Jimmy Webb tune, and it was sung by two fabulous vocalists.
Girl, I've heard you're getting married. Heard you're getting married. This time you're really sure, and this is the end. They say you really mean it. This guy's the one that makes you feel so safe.
get married. Never get married. You know that's not my scene. But a girl like you needs to be married.
often as I could have. And maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. If I made you feel second best, well, I'm sorry I was blind. Oh, 'cause you were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. And maybe I didn't hold time, but oh, oh, you were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Now tell me, baby, tell me that your sweet love hasn't died.
McCool.
And you listen to our good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Thank you. mountain. I'm gonna climb that mountain. If I have to swim the ocean, I'm gonna swim that ocean. Nothing in the whole wide world can keep me from you, babe.
Nothing and no one.
Hey, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. Hey, if you live in the Palm Beach, Florida area, be sure to catch Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. Join us starting April 1st through the 12th in the Royal Room at the Colony Hotel. For tickets, call 561-655-5430. You know, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. have enjoyed tremendous success over the last four decades as recording artists, performers, and authors. They've received 7 Grammy Awards and earned 15 gold and 3 platinum records and enjoyed starring roles on television and stage, both as a duo and as lead vocalist for the Fifth Dimension, one of the most popular singing groups in the late 60s and early 70s. They have performed to sold-out concerts around the world. Among their top hits are Up, Up, and Away, Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In, Wedding Bell Blues, One Less Bell to Answer, Stone Soul Picnic, and You Don't Have to Be a Star. This will be their second Royal Room engagement at the Colony Hotel, the essence of Palm Beach, 155 Hammond Avenue, Palm Beach, Florida. For tickets, call 561-655-5430. At the Colony Hotel, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr., April 1st through April 12th. At the Colony Hotel, Paulette and I will be there. You be there too. And if you live on the best coast, that being the West Coast, don't miss their upcoming performance at the Uptown Theater in Napa, California on March 22nd at 8 p.m. Tickets are available from Ticketmaster or the theater box office. Call 707-259-0123. That's at the Uptown Theater in Napa, California. Billy Davis Jr. and Marilyn McCoo. You don't have to be a star. Just be there.
Then there were times Mm-hmm.